Good morning. Beautiful day, beautiful day. Please turn to the back of your bulletin if you'd like to see the announcements. I will read them. Heather Perriman is coordinating a hymn book study to determine the changing needs of the congregation and the possible adoption in the future. If you are interested in serving on this committee, please let her know, or you can contact the church office. Now hear this. The Vision Committee will meet immediately, that's the operative word, immediately following the worship today in the library. The Lay Renewal Committee is looking for members who would be willing to volunteer to host a lay member during the renewal weekend. The host will provide a bedroom and a light breakfast on Saturday and Sunday mornings. Contact Miss Rebecca Atkinson, and her contact information is on the back, and she is here this morning. Now for a minute for lay renewal.
Good morning, church family. I love to say that, and perhaps you've heard me say that dozens of times in this church, but it's true. 33 years ago, you welcomed Sam and me into this congregation, and you helped us raise our children. Lucy met her husband in this church, and now our little grandchildren have been part of the last two Christmas pageants. You welcomed my parents into this church, and you were here when Daddy died. We cook together in the kitchen, we eat together, and we pray for each other. In 3 weeks, on the weekend of March the 13th through the 15th, we will have a lay renewal. And I confess to you that although I am on the vision committee, I do not have a clear vision of what this is going to be like. But I trust God, I trust our leaders, and I have great hopes. I hope that we will worship together in this sanctuary with music and words and thankful hearts. And I hope that it will be a time when we can deepen our relationships with each other through sharing our faith stories and understanding more of what God has done and is doing in the lives of people that we love. There is much said about growing the church, and of course, that is a wonderful goal. But maybe for this weekend, we'll be sort of glad that we are still a small family. Joyce reminded me this morning that you will receive a survey via email. Please fill out your survey. Please pray for this event, and I'll see you there.
For announcements, please also note that the Community Ash Wednesday service will be Wednesday, February the 26th at 7 p.m. at St. Luke's United Methodist. That's at 3090 North Main Street, and everyone is invited. Please join with me now for the responsive call to worship. The God who said, "Out of darkness the light shall shine," is the same God who made light shine in our hearts. Oh, praise the Lord with me. Thank you. And now for the reading of the prayer of confession, followed by a silent prayer. I'm sorry, Mac. I had the wrong hat on.
Music is the beauty of this.
And now, please join me for the reading of the prayer of confession. God of compassion, in Jesus Christ you revealed the light of your glory, but we turn away, distracted by our own plans. We confess that we speak when we should listen and act when we should wait. Forgive our aimless enthusiasms. Grant us wisdom to live in your light and to follow in the way of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. And now for the reading of the assurance of pardon. The God who challenges us is also the God who encourages us. The God who confronts us is also the God who accepts us. Be assured that God is with us even now, accepting, guiding, and forgiving.
Does it work? Yes, it does. Hooray. And no, you can't peek inside yet. No, no peeking. Has anybody ever told you you couldn't peek at things?
Yes.
What did they tell you you can't peek at?
My presents.
Presents? What else?
My birthday gifts.
Birthday? Okay. Today we're going to have a sermon, and we're going to talk about a Bible story about a big giant word called transfiguration. If I use that word, does anybody got any idea what I'm talking about?
Nope.
Nope, not a clue. I didn't think so. If I said that things changed from one thing to another thing, you'd think Transformers, wouldn't you? You'd be thinking toys that, you know, you kind of do things, huh? Okay, some people might think of those dumb cartoons where people changed and they came into Power Rangers or something.
Looney Tunes? Glitter
Force. Good. Those are all good examples of how things change, but that's not really a good way to look at this, because what this transfiguration is about is Jesus went up on a mountaintop way up high. He wanted to show everybody what they could see. He took with him three people.
Peter, James.
Bingo. You get a not peek yet, but you'll get one. Now, while they were up there, they were kind of tired, but they were still awake. And they saw Jesus, and he took on a whole different appearance. And standing next to him was Elijah and Moses. And they had a different appearance. They were shiny, really super shiny.
Oh.
And they couldn't believe it.
Say yes, Silver.
Then they said, well, why don't we hang out? This is kind of cool. Let's build some tents and we'll hang out overnight here, right? Mm-hmm. Well, it didn't happen either. A big cloud that was kind of shiny came over. You know what happened then?
It rained.
No, it didn't rain, but it came pretty close. God talked, and he said, this is my son that I love. Listen to it. Well, that got their attention and scared them. They fell down face first on the dirt. And when they finally lifted their heads up and looked around, all they could see was Jesus the way they'd seen him on the way up the mountains and on the way back down the mountain. Do you think I can explain that? No, I can't. I cannot explain it, but I can give you a clue what it might have been kind of like for them. And this will be a test to see if your parents are my age or a little bit younger. I know that none of you guys were born when this picture was taken. But do you know what this is a picture of? Everybody look at it. And for those of y'all who can't see it right now, this is the Life magazine from 1959 of the first photographs sent back to the Earth from the moon landing. And the caption under the picture says, we just saw an earth rise. And we all remembered how our entire world changed. We never thought about that. No one had ever showed us a picture of what the earth looked like. Now, the earth was the same before this picture, then after this picture, but we saw it different. And Jesus was the same before they saw him all shiny as he was on the way back down the mountain. But nobody had ever quite seen him like that except Moses. And Moses died and he'd seen it before. But now Peter, James, and John. And you know what's the most amazing thing about this story? Now I'm telling you about this right now. That's what the world looked like. That's the first time anybody in America ever saw a picture of the earth. And it blew our mind. Now, y'all call it a big blue marble, right? But nobody knew what the earth looked like. Nobody had ever seen a picture of it. But there's one right there in front of you. Now, on the way back down the mountain, you know what Jesus told the people? Take a wild guess. What's the craziest thing you can imagine telling them? After you showed them something that they'd never seen before and couldn't quite explain, what did he tell them? Don't tell anybody. Now, if I told you don't peek, do you feel like maybe you want to peek?
No. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If I tell you don't tell anybody, are you like me to maybe?
No.
Okay.
That's a secret.
It didn't remain a secret very long. So that the same way they saw Jesus changing, they saw him very clearly, just like they had their glasses taken off and they put them back on. Or the same way we finally realize the earth looks like that. It's really beautiful. It's magnificent. It's glorious. It's not flat. See, it's round. You can tell. It's like a sphere. Right. You see that right there? That's California. You guys can see California right there in that picture. So y'all understand this now. At the time, we were all learning this. But anyway, what Jesus was showing everybody in this story, let me have your attention one more second. What Jesus was telling everybody is, I'm going to show you just a little peek of my glory. I'm going to show you what's magnificent, and you'll see it later. But right now, I'm going to show you a little peek. Don't tell anybody. Shh. Okay, let's pray. Dear God, help us hold on to the peak of glory that you've shown us in your resurrection and in your life. Help us hang on to it no matter what. Amen. Now, since you did
now for the reading of the prayer for illumination. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now for the reading of the Old Testament lesson, which will be from Exodus 24, verses 12 to 18. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and commandments I have written for their instruction." Then Moses set out with Joshua, his aide, and Moses went up on the mountain of God. He said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are with you, and anyone involved in a dispute can go to them." When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went on up the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. These are the words of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
the story of the Transfiguration. We have been well prepared to hear the story of the Transfiguration this morning as the kids led the way. We are on the mountaintop with Jesus, Peter, James, and John, and we hear the story in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Do not be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The word of the Lord. A little 6-year-old girl named Andrea received a special music box as a birthday present from her grandparents. The box had her name engraved on the inside, and it played several lovely songs, including her favorite, Edelweiss. Andrea had been waiting for her turn at school to tell her friends about her music box. On the morning of her turn for show and tell, she awoke to the news that school had been canceled because of snow. She was heartbroken. Her mother and father tried to convince her that she would still get her turn the next day, but it didn't seem to be any comfort. She pouted and stewed about it all morning. 2 friends came by to invite Andrea to come out and play in the snow, but she didn't feel like it. After lunch, though, she was finally getting bored, so she asked if she could go over to a friend's house to play outside in the falling snow. When she got there, it seemed that the whole neighborhood was outside playing together. So Andrea made snow angels and sledded down long hills. She played with long, shiny icicles and threw snowballs. Some older kids built a snow castle, and she and her friends pretended that it was a princess castle. It was a long, fun, tiring, and enjoyable afternoon. At dinner time, Andrea's mom asked her to say the prayer before the meal, and she began with the words, "God is great, God is good. Let us thank him for our food." But at the end of the prayer, she added, "God, if I sounded grumpy earlier today, it was because I could not see far enough ahead." 6-year-olds, 16-year-olds, and 66-year-olds all experience moments when we cannot see far enough ahead. We get anxious when things do not go our way, and our vision gets clouded by our worry. To live well and to persevere, we need perspective. We need the peace that comes from being able to see down the road a ways and entrust ourselves to the care of a gracious and provident God. Every year on this Sunday, the Sunday before the season of Lent beginning, we find ourselves on a mountaintop. And on this mountain, we get a glimpse down the road a ways. Transfiguration Sunday always happens before we begin the Lenten pilgrimage, following Jesus on his way through the cross to life of resurrection and Easter morning. We get this brief glimpse of glory before we see Jesus set his path towards the darkness of Jerusalem's power politics that will lead to Jesus' crucifixion. So every year we get this mountaintop view, a view of Jesus in dazzling white. We hear God's voice from the heavens saying, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." It's something like that glorious moment on Mount Sinai when God revealed his glory to Moses that we heard in our Old Testament reading this morning. But I also think that we get a view from the mountaintop reminding us of the journey that Jesus will make for our sake and for the sake of the world. He will not let Peter, James, and John bask in the glow of this mountain revelation. Peter wants to stay, of course, and build three dwellings, but Jesus will not let them stay. Rather, we can see from here that Jesus is determined to do his Father's will. He chooses to go down the mountain into the deep valley, where ultimately he will bear all the pain and suffering of human sinfulness that God will transform into healing and forgiveness. This year, though, I don't quite want to let go of another mountaintop. We have been following Jesus' teachings from the Sermon on the Mount the last several Sundays. On that mountaintop, Jesus was revealing, showing to his disciples what the kingdom of heaven is like. So if you stay on Mount Tabor mountaintop view, we see that Jesus, from that mountaintop, is leading them down towards the cross. But I want to keep these two mountains together, Sermon on the Mount and Mount Tabor, the Transfiguration, together. In fact, if we look back on the Sermon on the Mount, we see that these mountains go together. That is the teachings of Jesus and the path that Jesus will lead to resurrection. On the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught the disciples, do not worry about your life, about what you will eat or drink, and do not worry about your clothing. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet even Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like one of these. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Rather, keep your eyes on the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given to you. Jesus' focus the whole way through the gospel is this kingdom, not our earthly kingdoms, but God's, the reign of God. And in this section of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus comes closest to being a poet. He describes in beautiful language God's loving care for his creation. God has made our world so that even the smallest of its creatures and living things reflect the beauty of their maker. He sees the color, the contour and shape of the birds and the flowers, and he knows that God's artistic fingerprints are all over them. The waters that flourish them, nourish them, are supplied by the one who lovingly created them. We've all had experiences when we've looked out over the created world and been struck by the wonder of God. Probably some of those mountains moments took place on a mountaintop, or maybe a waterfall, or a hike through the woods, or a morning at the beach. All of these experiences point beyond themselves to their creator. If we look closely at the interdependency of a forest and its creatures, and the way a forest recycles itself, it's enough to make us marvel at a plan that is no mere accident. The simplicity of it and the detail of it, every part of the whole nourishes the other and sustains the well-being of the whole. Jesus asks his disciples to pause and to consider the marvel of what is so easy to take for granted. And then he says, and you who are created in God's image, don't you think that God has a plan of providing for you as well? Because of both the beauty of the created world and the way that God has made a means for providing for his creatures, Jesus reminds his disciples not once, but four times, not to worry. Do not worry. Do not be riddled with anxiety. And then in the Transfiguration, he met them with the words, do not be afraid. It's such a constant refrain throughout the scriptures, do not be afraid. The old gospel hymn sings, God will take care of you. so we need not live overwhelmed by fear of the unknown. As the Apostle Paul put it, have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. Now, this is all true, and it is good news to hear and to remember, yet at the very same time, we know that worry and anxiety are not something that we can turn off like a light switch. There are a dozen things that cause us to be concerned at any given moment. That God feeds the birds of the air and clothes the lilies of the field does not change the fact that there are still bills due at the end of the month. Jesus' teaching does not mean that if we have enough faith that somehow all of our anxieties magically disappear. We know that we worry about family and friends. Parents worry about kids. Grown children worry about aging parents. Grandparents worry and pray for their grandchildren. It's a natural human response. The worry and concern come from a deep place of love because we want things to go well for our loved ones. Jesus' teaching does not mean that we should not be concerned about these things. If anything, following in the path of Christian faith deepens our concern for those around us. And along with that concern and love, quite naturally come the moments when we worry. So when we hear Jesus' teaching, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself, it does not mean that these things that cause us concern do not matter. Of course they matter. They are dear and precious to us. What Jesus is showing us is that even as we undergo the life experiences that cause us anxiety, those worries and fears will not overcome us as we live by faith. And it is really not so much dependent upon how strong our faith is, but rather all hangs on the truth that God hangs on to us. God faithfully watches over us. As his eye is on the sparrow, so it remains upon us. And not only does he watch, he keeps us in the strong, loving grasp of his provident care. So yes, we can live without being overwhelmed by the things that worry us. And when we see the dazzling white light of his glory, the reminder of those moments reveal to us that we do belong to him, and he is faithful. And yes, at those moments, the worries disappear, if but for a time. They return, of course, but they do not overtake us. They are not the final word. The final word is heard in the news that the stone has been rolled away. It is seen in the light of Easter morning. This morning, after Jesus is transfigured in glorious light, he is heading down the mountaintop from Mount Tabor. He is making the journey down into the valley for your sake and for mine. He does so trusting the words of his own sermon, "Do not worry about tomorrow. Strive first for the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given to you as well." Friends, may God's Spirit lead us into this new week. May God's Spirit lead us as individual Christians and as the body of Christ, God's people together, who by faith know that the Lord does indeed provide. Let us go trusting that he goes before us and prepares the way for us. May our concerns for family and friends remind us of the love that God has given us for them. Let us go in faith knowing that we can entrust our worries to the only one who loves us and our loved ones with a power strong enough to keep us in his grasp and provide what is most needed. May the peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and spirits in trusting that this is true. Let me close this morning with a prayer from Phillips Brooks, the Episcopal minister who was the author of the carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. O Lord, by all your dealings with us, whether of joy or pain, of light or darkness, let us be brought to you. Let us value no treatment of your grace simply because it makes us happy or because it makes us sad, but may all that you send us bring us to you, that knowing your providence, we may be sure in every disappointment that you are still loving us, in every darkness that you are still bringing us to your light, and that you are giving us life through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us stand as we confess the faith of the church together, saying the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Our hymn is number 263, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Please be seated. As we turn to the pastoral prayer, let me pass on some prayer concerns this morning. We keep the family of Dr. Bill Brown in our prayers. Bill was a longtime member of this church, an elder and a deacon at First Presbyterian, and he died this past Monday morning. We had his funeral here on Wednesday. We surround Beth and Will and all of the family in our prayers. We continue to keep Diane Shelton Kay Gillespie and Judy Hooker in our prayers, and also let us keep a community member, Dr. Estevez, in our prayers. He had an 8-year-old grandson who passed away this week. Let us pray. Holy God of light, let your Holy Spirit illumine our lives this morning. As we see Jesus transfigured in dazzling white upon the mountaintop, break through the clouds that often dim our knowledge of you and ourselves. We know that as mere creatures, we never see and perceive all heavenly things too wonderful for us. Yet through eyes of faith, we find more than enough light and wisdom to take the next step along the path of the Christian life. We thank you for friends, teachers, and brothers and sisters along the way. How often we are reminded of your grace and goodness through the words, touch, and presence of one another. You created us for fellowship with each other, and so often your provision is felt through the connections and relationships that you have brought into our lives. Be with this congregation and prepare this church as it readies for a weekend of deepening those ties with one another and with you during the lay renewal weekend. May the old bonds of fellowship be strengthened and new relationships be kindled. Ever faithful God, you are our steady foundation, yet we live in an anxious time of fast-paced transition. Let the church be a community of gracious patience in our technological world of speed. May your Holy Spirit keep us attentive to each person and attentive to your loving presence. Hear our prayers for each person on our prayer list and those we have remembered before you today. Add to each person what is most needed in their own lives. Hear our prayers for Danville and Southside, Virginia. Hear our prayers for our nation and its leaders. Hear our prayers for the world which you love so much that you have sent Jesus Christ, your Son, so that his life, teaching, compassion, death, and resurrection may make all things new and ultimately restore all things to your holy purposes. Now we pray, as Christ taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now with gladness, let us bring the offerings of our life and labor to the Lord. Let us pray. Generous God, we marvel at your lavish gifts to us, life and breath, food and shelter, opportunities for work and play, and most especially, hope and peace in Christ. We now pledge ourselves to mirror and reflect the glory of your self-giving love, to continue in the pattern of generosity we see perfectly revealed in Christ, through whom we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 417, Christ is Made the Sure Foundation. Friends, as you go into this new week, go trusting that Christ goes before you to prepare the way for you. And he goes behind you to nudge you in the way of faith. He goes beside you to befriend you and to accompany you along life's way. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.